Welcome to another episode of Love You Most. I'm back and we are talking about how to fall in love with your body today. We're just going to get right into it because there's a lot to talk about. I feel like this is the perfect time of year to have this little chat, but also you guys ask so many deep and heartfelt questions. So I want to make sure I get to the Q&A and give you guys the time. I really think that we need to go through those. And you guys are always like, I don't know, you're just always welcome to ask anything that you want. But if you don't feel comfortable like leaving it in the Q&A box on Mondays, whenever I put it in the Love You Most Pod Instagram stories, you're more than welcome to message me personally. You can send me an anonymous email, whatever you're comfortable with. I feel so grateful that you guys are even like, I don't know, like wanting to listen to what I have to say in any capacity. So thank you for being here. Actually, before we start and get into anything, I want to check and see if any of you guys left a review last week. Reviews mean so much to me. They are the way that like people find this podcast. So make sure you guys leave reviews if you guys haven't, just because like I want more people to be able to connect with us here. And I feel like the best way to do that is through just like little reviews. So it looks like one of you guys left a little message. And so I'm going to see if I can like pull that up. I'm still very new to this like whole podcasting thing. I was actually telling Brady the other night, I was like, yeah, I podcast and I don't edit anything. And it's literally because I don't know how. So yeah, one of you guys left a little message and you said, love this episode. Would love to hear an episode about loving your body and having a healthy relationship with food. Thanks again. That is so funny. Because literally that's what this episode is about. It's not about a relationship with food. And someone left that message on the how to have a healthy relationship with social media. And you can leave little messages on the Spotify app if you want to, or leave reviews on Apple Podcasts. But either way is like totally fine with me. I just love being able to interact with you guys. And then the other message said, this was on the how to keep it together when life is falling apart episode. And one of you guys said, I truly enjoyed this episode. I'm thankful that you're even want to share your time with us. And I pray all gets better for Bane. I'm a fur auntie to a beautiful Cocker Spaniel. How cute. I love connecting with you guys. Like, I don't know what it is. I feel like we have the best community here, like better than literally any community ever. And I think it's because we're all so just like loving and caring and thoughtful. But like, even in, on the days that we're not and like we're grumpy or whatever, like I feel like we still are wanting to like be our best and be like just kind to people around us. You guys also left another message on the Things You Need to Hear episode. And it says, such a good episode. Thank you. So sorry for your loss. Thank you again for those kind words. I have talked about my grief here and I feel like I still am just working through all of my feelings. And one of you guys actually said like grief doesn't go away. You just learn how to navigate around it. And I feel like that is so true. It's been very difficult to continue to just like show up in the way that I used to. But I think because this community here feels like family, like you guys genuinely feel like more than just like people on the internet. Like you feel like people I know deeply and intimately, and that's how I've always wanted to build this community. So it doesn't feel hard to show up here because it feels like I'm showing up to people who like love and care for me and who are like empathetic towards like what I'm going through. And so thank you, but let's get into the episode. And the first way to fall in love with your body is to focus on what your body does for you versus how it looks. And now I know this is hard. I'm not saying it's easy because it's definitely not. The world will tell you you need to change every single thing about your body. And the world will tell you that your body doesn't look good, or if it's small, it needs to be bigger, or if it's bigger, it needs to be smaller. If it's soft, it needs to be firmer. If it's firm, then it's too firm. And I'm over it, you know? Like, we are the curators of the things that like we intake into our mind, like the content that we consume. And so if we're curating what we consume, I think we need to be very selective, especially right now, with what we watch, with what we listen to, what we put into our brains, or what we see, if we can, because right now is a time that the world will tell you your body is not enough as it is. And it's literally just the world wanting you to buy more stuff. Like, it wants you to buy more clothes that fit differently than the ones that you have now, to have a different or better style, or more like diet supplements, or a treadmill, or sneakers, or something to be quote unquote better. And I promise you, you do not need any of it. Like, you literally don't need more vitamins. You don't need more workout stuff. You don't need any of it, because it's like, I don't know. And not, I don't want to say you're perfect, because you're like, we're all humans and we can all like do better. But I feel like this time right now is when we feel the like the worst about ourselves. And that's literally just because the world is telling you that you are your worst right now. And that's not true. So don't listen to that and focus on what your body does for you. Like, when you wake up in the morning and you step out of bed and you're able to stretch your arms, or if you're able to walk to the bathroom, or if you're able to speak to your friends or family, if you're able to text or talk to them in that way, like, think about the things that you're able to do. And I'm trying to make sure that I'm very inclusive of everyone and their abilities, because all of us do have different body like abilities. But I think that you know yourself better than anyone. And so think about those things that maybe you take for granted, and really like focus on what your body is doing to sustain you and to just make your life better versus how it looks. Like, I think so differently about my body. I'm gonna try not to get emotional. I think so differently about my body after seeing my dad go from walking and running and working out all the time, and him just being so like fit, to being in a wheelchair and needing someone to help him eat and help him do everything. And I think for such a long time, he, you know, just went about his regular routine, and maybe he was grateful for those things, but maybe he wasn't. And I don't want to be that person who years down the road is wishing that I was grateful for what I had when I had it. And now I do know that when he was in a wheelchair and he did start to have more limitations than he used to have, he was so grateful for the mobility that he did have. His one of his arms wasn't as like mobile as the other, and he would always talk about how strong that arm was and how like all the things that he could do, and he would show me all of his exercises, and he was very grateful for those things. But I think when we have things taken away from us, that's when we start to realize how like big of a deal it is. Like, when you get sick, literally the first thing I think is like, I cannot wait till I can breathe right again. I can't wait till I can like breathe through my nose or breathe through my mouth and not have like an itchy, scratchy feeling in my throat. And I always think, I will be so grateful. Like, I will never like take this for granted. And every single time it gets back to normal, I do. I take it for granted every time. And so I really want to encourage you to, maybe if you have to, write down a list of all the things that your body does for you, all the small ways that it's showing up for you and it's making your life a little bit easier. Write down those things, because I promise you are forgetting some things. And another way to fall in love with your body is to donate clothing that doesn't fit. And I think this is a big one, because I feel like for so long I tried really hard to fit into one size, and I wanted to like be a specific size because I'd always been that size. But as I grow as a woman, like, my body also grows with me. My mind grows. So why would I not assume that my body is also going to change and shift? And like, when I think about how I've grown as a person, I look at my growth in my mind and my growth in my hobbies and my interests as a beautiful thing, but I don't look at my body and the way that it's grown as a beautiful thing. And I don't know why I do that, you know, because it's just a part of me progressing as a human. So if I'm growing in any capacity, whether it's like wide or, you know, the height is different or just any kind of growth in my body, like, I feel like the only time we don't celebrate it is when our body is growing in size. And so I want to celebrate my body in all like shapes and sizes. And so Donating the clothing that doesn't fit will really help you to have a better view and like a love for your body and fall in love with it, because you won't be so focused on what's not fitting and you can just really focus on feeling good. Like, I promise you, those jeans that are two sizes too small that you're trying to squeeze into, you feel worse when you put those on than when you put on a size that actually fits. You're going to feel comfortable when you're wearing something that actually fits, and no one knows what size you're wearing. I promise you, like literally no one knows. Like if you're wearing a size 2001, and I know that's not a jean size, I'm just taking like a random number. If you're wearing a size 2001 in jeans, no one would know. Literally not one person, because every pair of jeans is so different. If you put a pair of jeans from Abercrombie, a pair of jeans from American Eagle, a pair of jeans from Old Navy, a pair of jeans from Francesca's, a pair of jeans from Good American, if you put all these jeans lined up and they're all the exact same size, I promise you, you will not fit into every single one, and they will all not fit the same. And it's because they're all like just a number. Like someone created a number for us to like place our value in. Well, I guess that's not really why it was created, but that's what it's turned into. And I feel like we hold so closely our value to a number. And I think that we should really let go of that. And when we start donating clothes that don't fit, I feel like it'll help us let go of that attachment to that number. And another way to fall in love with your body is to follow people on social media that make you feel empowered about your body. And to me, that looks like following creators who celebrate their size at all sizes and who show up and say, hey, this is hard. Like, it's not easy for me to celebrate my size, but I'm doing it because I know that my body is beautiful in all like shapes and is beautiful because it's mine. And I think that the more I follow those people, the more empowered I am to be like, okay, my body is changing. Like, it is so different than it used to be. But whatever it changes into, as long as I'm doing my very best to be a healthy version of myself, then that's all I can ask for. Because our like existence is not to count macros and to work out 20 times a day and to like try to be this exact robotic person to try to fit into the healthiest version of who we think that we're supposed to be. That's not what our existence is supposed to be. It's supposed to be us enjoying life, and I think part of that enjoyment is just like being. It's like, you know, hiking if we want to, or just falling into the couch if we want to, and like scrolling on our phone or reading a book or watching the sunset or building memories with family and friends and stuffing our faces with cake and all of the things. And so existing isn't just like a one size fits all. I think we all have a different like view of what we want our life to look like. But I think when we follow people on social media that can make us feel empowered to make decisions about our body that are like good decisions for us, I think that that will help us fall in love with it even more. And another way to fall in love with your body is to remind yourself that there is not one perfect body. Like there isn't. There is no perfect body, because the definition of perfection in beauty and in bodies shifts so much. I think back to when I was in high school, I remember this vividly. I always had like a larger butt, and I would pull my shirt down. Like, I don't know if anyone remembers this, like when people would wear like a t-shirt and then they would put a tank top, like a longer tank top underneath. And my tank top would always have like a little bit of a lace or like a frill at the bottom. I just thought that was cute. And I would pull that tank top past my butt to try to cover it up. And I remember my mom would always be like, why are you doing that? Like, why are you pulling it down? Like, people can still see you. But like deep down, I wanted people not to see me because I felt like my curves weren't beautiful. And then, of course, the era of beauty changed, where at first the like iconic quote unquote perfect body was so thin with no curves and just like straight down in a line, which I definitely was not. And then that definition shifted to, well, the perfect body is now curvy and the perfect body is now, you know, X, Y, and Z. And so then I started celebrating my curves, but I felt like I wasn't muscular enough because all of the definitions of beauty that I saw were curvy, but flat stomachs and no cellulite and, you know, nothing was soft and everything was firm and toned. And so what's wild is that the version of my body that I felt was ugly before, which I didn't feel was straight enough or flat enough or, you know, thin enough, then when my definition of beauty technically should have been like my era to be like, you know what? My body is the perfect body because it's curvy, it's what everyone wants. No, what I did was look at those people who had the quote unquote perfect body and said, oh, well, it still isn't good enough because it's not fitting X, Y, and Z. And so remind yourself that there is not one perfect body that will be celebrated by all of the world or, you know, everyone who sees that body, because everyone has a different definition of what is beautiful. But remind yourself that your body is perfect. Your body is perfect because it's yours. And I feel like I've had to remind myself of that so much, and that I need to just like let go of my view of what perfection is, because if it's mine, like that's beautiful and it's perfectly mine. It's perfectly unique and it's perfectly flawed and it's perfectly me. And another way to fall in love with your body is to talk to yourself like you would your best friend. And this is a big one because, and I feel like I keep saying all of them are big ones, but they really are. Like, I feel like if I took all these to heart and actually listened to these things, I would have such a better view of like my body. And I still struggle with so many of these things. And I've had a very disordered relationship with food, especially in high school and college. And I've gotten a lot better at it, but there's still certain things that I literally cannot do. I cannot weigh myself. And one thing I'm learning is I cannot track numbers. And I started recently trying to track like how much protein I've been getting because I do a lot of heavy lifting. And if you follow on Instagram, you guys see I go to like a CrossFit type gym. And I noticed that the minute I started tracking protein, I started tracking everything else. I started tracking calories and I started tracking this and that. And then I wanted to weigh myself and track that number. And then I wanted to track, you know, how many steps I was getting per day. And then I wanted to track, you know, just it was a long spiral. And so one day I'll be able to do that in a healthy way. And I know people can do that in a healthy way, but for me, I'm not there yet. And I think it's just because I've had such a unhealthy relationship with food in like the past. But for me right now, I'm working on that and I'm getting there, but I'm giving myself grace along the way. But talking to yourself like you would your best friend will help reframe the way that you view yourself. Because if a friend were to put on an outfit, you would never be like, that's ugly. Wow, that does not fit your body the way it's supposed to. Wow, your body looks terrible. Like the things that we say to ourselves, absolutely wild. Like we would not be friends with ourselves. Like we would not, if we had a friend that talked to us the way that we talk to ourselves, we wouldn't be friends with them. We would literally ditch them the minute that they open their mouth. So why is it that we accept the things that we say to ourselves as truth? Like they're literally not. We're just like spiraling into this negative like framework that I feel like we can't let go of because it's habit and because we feel like we need to be better. And like there is never going to be perfection in anything. Like, and I don't know why we expect it from ourselves because we don't expect it from other people. And when I look at my friends, I really am not looking at their body. Like I'm looking at how beautiful they are in so many different ways. And their body is never what comes to mind. I'm thinking about their kindness. I'm thinking about the way that they show up for me or for their family or show up for themselves, the way they speak to themselves. I'm thinking about literally anything else but their body. And another way to fall in love with your body, along with speaking to yourself like you would to your best friend, is to stop hiding your body. And this was a big one for me because, wow, that goes back to me saying this is a big one, but I promise they're all big things. This was a big one for me because I used to be so afraid to wear bikinis, and I also used to be so afraid to wear workout sets. And it was really weird. I think part of me, I don't want to say it's weird, but it was my way of coping with what I felt was not a good looking body. And I used to never want to wear workout sets because I felt like if I was working out and I bent over and someone could see a roll, or if I like moved in a way that was unflattering where someone could see cellulite, or I bent over and something jiggled, that I would be deemed ugly. And I wanted to be so perfect. And what's wild is that I viewed cellulite and I viewed extra skin as ugly. Like literally that just makes me want to blow a gasket because skin is literally skin. Like why do we get so hung up and bent up on skin? Like why can we not accept that extra skin is great? It's protecting our organs. our organs. It's protecting us. It's keeping us like warm. It's keeping us like, I don't know, just healthy. And I just feel like back in the day when women would have extra skin and would have bigger bodies, it was celebrated because it was looked at as a measure of wealth. And then something changed in society, where they were like, you know what, that's actually not a good idea. Let's do the opposite. So a measure of wealth is not having a bigger body. It's, you know, this. And that just has to do with society. So like, why is it that we're just deciding that we're going to believe everything that we're told about our bodies? And so stop hiding behind your tank tops, hiding behind your swimsuits, your t-shirts, your skirts, your dresses. Stop hiding behind your sweatshirts and crew necks, because you're going to look back and wish that you lived life in the body that you have right now. And I hope to the good Lord above that you're not looking back at your body that you have now when your body isn't as mobile or your body isn't as it is right now. And I hope that we can celebrate it now and not be taking it for granted and then years later wishing that we hadn't. I want us to celebrate and stop hiding today. And another way to fall in love with your body is to take care of your body. This is a big thing for me because I feel like when I take care of my body, I feel good. And for me, taking care of my body is making sure that I'm having time for slowness and time for stillness, that I'm having time to just like relax my shoulders. And I think when other people say take care of your body, the first thing that we think of as humans is, well, we need to eat right. We need to work out. We need to, you know, do all these quote unquote healthy things. But health can look so different for so many different people. And there's so many different facets of health that I think we don't really think about. Like the quality of sleep that we get actually affects our health more than like so many different things. But you don't hear people saying, well, I'm going to take care of my body. Like the first thing I'm going to do is get sleep. Like, no, you usually hear people talk about what they're eating and putting into it and how they're working out to, you know, get some kind of like workout routine in. And you know what taking care of your body looks like for you. And so I can't tell you what you should or shouldn't be doing, but I know that whenever I'm taking care of my body and doing what my body needs for it, I feel better. And the last thing to help you fall in love with your body is to move your body for how it makes you feel and not how it makes you look. And that's similar to what I kind of said at the beginning, was to focus on what your body does for you and how versus how it looks, because moving your body for your like mobility is so much different than moving your body for like a specific look or aesthetic. And it's easy to fall down the rabbit hole to feeling like you don't look good enough, so you need to move your body until you look that way. And I hope that all of these different things have really helped you guys feel different about your body. And I can go into depth about this so much more if that's something that you guys want, because I have really struggled with this over the past, and I wish that someone had given me like a guidebook for how to learn to love my body in the way that I do now. And again, I'm still working on it, but it's definitely a lot better. Now let's get into the Q&A segment of this episode. One of you guys asked, how do I get adapted to my 9-to-5 life? It's my first full-time job post-grad and I'm struggling. I think the biggest thing to get adapted to 9-to-5 is to have a life outside of your 9-to-5. And that probably sounds weird because you're like, whoa, that doesn't really like help me at work, but I promise you it will. And I think it will, because you'll be rejuvenated when you come to work versus if you're constantly living for work, like you're going to work, you're working late, you're, you know, climbing the ladder and all the things. And then, you know, you wake up and go back to work again and you do that all throughout the week. And then on the weekend, you're so exhausted, you can't even do anything. And then you just sleep the weekend away and you try to catch up on chores and you try to catch up on laundry, you try to catch up on all the things. And then you go back to work for the week. You're going to be so burnt out and you are not going to show up in the way that you like could if you actually were rejuvenated. So after work, let work be done at 5. If you're off at 5, you're done at 5. Get up from your desk and go take a walk, go to a pottery class with your friends for an hour, go and get dinner, go and like watch the sunset, or I mean, I guess it's like getting darker now than it used to, like it's getting dark a lot earlier, but go to the library, go and read in a bookstore, go to a late night coffee shop, just go and do something outside of your home, because I promise you will feel a million times better if you have memories outside of work, and you'll feel so much more rejuvenated to come into your workday with a better perspective. And another thing that you guys asked was, what's the best thriller that you've read? I really, really liked The Golden Couple by Sarah Pekkanen and Greer Hendricks. I read that like 2 years ago, and I still think about it to this day. I've also loved Never Lie by Freda McFadden. Freda McFadden's books are like popcorn thrillers where you can literally finish them in one sitting and you won't want to put them down. And those are the thrillers that I probably love the best. And I'm getting ready to read the book Saving Noah by Lucinda Berry. And I read another book by Lucinda Berry that I really enjoy, but they're kind of like sad. So keep that in mind if you're going to that kind of thriller. But I love a good thriller, especially during this season. And another question that you guys asked was, how to survive dark winter this year with joy. It gets dark so early now. And I totally agree with this. I'm actually going to have a whole episode coming just talking about how to survive the dark winter season. So be on the lookout for that. But I think the biggest thing is to try to get outside, like on your lunch break, or watch the sunrise, or even get outside in nature in the dark, like taking a dark walk with your dog or something, because nature is healing. And I think so often it gets dark and we're like, well, can't go outside. You know, it's dark, it's cold, but it's cold regardless. It's cold at night, it's cold during the day. We're getting into winter, so it's going to be cold, but nature is healing and nature is just going to make you feel a lot better, because you're not going to feel like you're just stuck inside, like, you know, all day for work and then all night. So getting out and getting that break is really going to like make you feel a lot better. But I will have a whole episode coming on this, so be on the lookout, because I'll get like a little bit more in depth. And another one of you asked how to set up healthy boundaries with family and in-laws, especially around holidays. I think I talked about setting boundaries in one of my episodes about like things I wish I knew in my 20s. But setting boundaries is up to you. And I think that a lot of people ask about setting boundaries because they want to know an easy way to like let down a family member or a friend or an in-law, because setting boundaries is hard because it does not make the other person happy usually. But setting boundaries is up to you. So when you set a boundary, you have to be the person to hold to that boundary. Like if you say, you know, we are going to come visit you on Christmas Day from 1 o'clock until 6 o'clock. And we're not going to be there all day. We're only going to be there from 1 to 6. And you know, that's your time. And maybe your family's like, oh, you should come all weekend, or you should stay all day or whatever. And they're not happy about that. You have to stick to your guns and you have to stick to that boundary that you set. And the only thing that we can control is our own actions and our reactions. And so if you can only control what you do, you can't control that they're going to be upset if you set a boundary and they don't want to like abide by it. But you can control your actions. So if they're like, oh, I'm so annoyed like that you're doing this or that, or they want to talk crap about it, or they want to get upset, that's on them. That's their reaction. But you can't control your reaction to like them, and that will like hopefully make the situation better, at least on your end. And hopefully they'll learn over time that you're going to stick to your guns and you're just going to like do what you've set in your boundary. It is not always easy. It could take 10, 20 years for them to recognize that like what you're saying is truth and that you're going to actually follow through with what you say. But it's your life. And I think sometimes it's really hard not to cave in to people that you love because you want to make sure that everyone's happy. But you just kind of have to. So more power to you. It is very hard to stick to your boundaries, but I think it's very, very important. Another question you guys asked was a really good one, and it was a long one. And I'm just going to read it because you guys actually sent it in a message, and it says, hi, don't want to wait for you to post the Q&A box because I have ADHD and most likely will forget, and I'm really curious to know. I want to preface this by saying that I'm Jewish and I don't really know anything about Christianity, so this question is 100% judgment and 100% curiosity. or genuine curiosity. You talk a lot about your faith and how much it means to you, and you've also mentioned multiple times that you're child-free by choice, at least for now. Jews have a commandment to have kids, and my desire to have kids is largely inspired by that commandment, as well as a strong emphasis on having kids and educating them and having a large family in the Jewish community. I'm wondering if there's a similar commandment and or religious expectation for you to have kids, and if so, how you grapple with that as a religious person, and also if and where birth control fits into the picture. That is such a good question. I love deep questions like this because it really makes me think just about life and like all the things. So firstly, as a Christian, there isn't a commandment to have children. There definitely is like a strong encouragement, and there are a lot of like biblical stories and like examples of people who were blessed with children by God. There are also lots of stories of people who were barren and who were barren, but God ended up giving them people to care for. So I think that God really recognizes that everyone has a different like life path. And I think that when I look at people in the world who are Christian, who have not been given the ability to have their own like birth children, I still think that God has a plan for them. I think that God just has a different plan than everyone else. And I don't think that every single person on this earth is destined to be a parent, but I do think that every person on this earth is destined or should be like, I don't want to say made to, because I think that that's like a stretch, but should be adding in some way to give love to other people. And I say that because even if you're not destined to be a parent, I think that God calls us to love, and he calls us to love other people and love them well. And so maybe I'll have children one day, maybe I won't. Like, I don't feel like I want to be a mom. Like, I don't have anything in my desire or just mind, body, spirit, anything that feels like I will be a mother. But that doesn't mean that I won't wake up one day and feel like, you know what, I want to be a mom now. And I do think that if that were the case, that like God could make that happen. Like, considering that he is a God of the whole universe, like he could literally do anything that he wants. Granted, we have free will, so I don't think that he's going to like make us do something that we don't want to do. But with that, kind of going back to what I was saying before, I feel like God has called us to love. And so even if I don't plan on having children, I do think that I'm called to love other people and love them with my whole heart. So maybe I'm called to love people who don't have parents, and maybe I'm not going to be their parent, but maybe I'm going to be able to step in and show them the love that a parent would have given them or should have given them. Maybe I'm going to sign up and be a big brother, big sister, or maybe I'm going to meet someone who, like, I think about one of my best friends that I've known like my entire life. He grew up with his aunt and uncle and lived with them, and he never was like living with any of his birth parents. And after he turned 18, they were pretty much like, hey, you know what, it's time for you to go your own way. And something that was really beautiful was at my father's funeral, he actually texted my mom and said that he said, Mr. Small was one of the first Black men who showed me that it's okay to, you know, be vulnerable, but also that they should show up and they should be a good caretaker. And he showed me how to be a father. And now he's married and has a daughter of his own. And I just think that it's beautiful that my dad was able to show him that, even though he wasn't his like actual father, but he kind of stepped in a way that I think is like so incredible. So long story short, do I think that there is a commandment for everyone to have kids? No, but I do think we're commanded to love. And so I plan on, as long as I have the ability to love every person that I meet and to make sure that every person feels loved or feels as much love as I can give them. And I think that that's like a really important thing. So you did ask about like, where does birth control fit in? I think that that's something that everyone has to decide on their own. For me personally, I feel like I have really been trying to like look at my health and like see what fits well with my hormones. And I feel like birth control does not fit well with my hormones at all. And it hasn't for a very long time. And I've also been trying to just like eat intuitively and like all these different things, but I don't know. I think that that's something that everyone has to really like look at and see what's best for them. And so for you, I can't really tell you like what you should or shouldn't do. But for me, I think that I know that the biggest commandment is to love, and I'm not going to love people less because I don't have children. I'll just love them differently. And other people's kids, I'm going to love them too. Maybe I won't love them like I would if I had my own birth children, but I'll love them to the capacity that I know how because I don't have kids. So I hope that kind of answers your question in a long roundabout way, but I love questions like that because I feel like I really think deeply about, like, I don't know, what I'm like meant to do and like, I don't know, all the things. So you guys also asked some bookish questions. So let's just get into the book segment really fast because you asked four bookish questions. And so instead of like keeping that in the little Q&A segment, we'll just hop over into the bookish segment and go through those because they're all bookish questions. One of the questions you asked was, do you prefer a fast read book or a short or slow read? I definitely prefer a fast read. I just love, like, I don't know, getting a book that I want to read in one sitting. It just makes me so much happier than if I were to like have a book that I just like drew out for weeks and weeks, which actually doesn't happen very often. Usually I finish, like, the longest it'll take me to finish a book is usually like a week, unless it's a book I really don't enjoy, but I never like DNF a book. Like, I never don't finish it. I always finish books, but if it's taking me longer than a week, then it might not be for me. Or maybe I'm just like busy, but if it's taking me like I've had two books that have taken me a month to read. One of them was Restore Me by J.L. Seegers, and the other one was A Little Life by Hanya Yangahara. And both of those books I did not enjoy. And a large part of why I didn't enjoy them, honestly, different reasons, but the book by J.L. Seegers was too spicy for me. And the book A Little Life was just a little too, like, it had too much trauma in it that just felt like the author was kind of trying to exploit the reader's feelings and just add in all this like sad stuff that didn't really feel super believable to me. But yeah, that took me like a month or so to read both of those. So yeah, I wasn't like a huge fan of those. Another question you asked was, how has reading changed your life or helped it? Reading has changed my life because it's allowed me to like transport myself from where I am to like a totally different world. And I actually just shared a little like book chat on YouTube and it went up today and it had all these like bookish questions in it. And that was actually one of the questions that I answered. But make sure you go there if you want to like learn more about me and like my reading journey and stuff, because it just went up today and there's new videos every day for all of December. Another question you asked was, is there a character that you would love to meet in real life and be friends with, and who and from what book? That is such a good question. I would love to be best friends with Magnolia Parks. Love to be best friends with her. Like, I mean, she is that girl. She's an it girl. She is like down to a T, knows everything about the fashion. I do think that she would like roast me and she would think that every outfit that I wear is like not cute, because all I care about is like comfy, cozy, like oversized fits. And she's like wanting to wear all these like chic outfits. And I just like, I don't wear anything that she would wear. So she'd probably roast me for that. But I think that it would be really cool to meet her. She just seems like an iconic character. And speaking of Magnolia Parks, made me think of Jessa Hastings, who is the author of the Magnolia Parks series. She just released the book called Never. And I've been reading it. Oh my God, guys, it's so freaking good. Like, it's so good. It's a retelling of Peter Pan. And it talks about this girl named Daphne, and her great grandmother or her grandmother, I can't remember which, was Wendy. And so Wendy, years back, went with Peter Pan, which we all know the story of Wendy and Peter Pan. But this is the story of Daphne and Peter Pan. And Daphne goes with Peter Pan and she kind of thinks that he's like cocky, annoying. And it is just so good. I'm pretty sure she's going to fall in love with Hook. Like, I just love it so much. And it's written similar to like the same writing style as Magnolia Parks, which it makes you like, reading Magnolia Parks feels like you're watching a TV show because it's written like reality TV. Like, there's just so much mess and the writing is like the person is talking to you. But what I like about the new book that just came out, it's written in the same way. There isn't like drama and mess because it's a different plot, but it's written almost as if the characters are talking to you. So it kind of feels like she's writing in like a journal entry or something, which is cool. And the last question you asked was, what book have you read that seems to be stuck to you and you talk about it as if it's real life tea? Oh my gosh, guys, we're talking about my favorite books here. It just makes me like giggle. Definitely Magnolia Parks. And I think Before I Let Go is probably the other one that feels real to me. I talk about that one like it's literally a real, like they're real people. But I think Magnolia Park still takes the cake, like, because there's so many characters in it. So I can talk about, like, these couples who broke up and these couples who got together and, like, what people were wearing at what party. And, like, literally, it's not even real. Like, these are not real people, but they feel like they are. So read the series if you haven't. This is me, like, just promoting their whole series because it's so good. I will say that the writing style is definitely different, so you have to get used to that. But I feel like once you get used to the writing, you will enjoy it. So yeah, that is all for this episode. I love you most. I love you more than you know, or more than anyone you know. Well, maybe not, but I love you a lot. And I'll chat with you guys in the next one. Bye, guys.